So today we begin our theme for the year, and that is growing in spiritual maturity. I wonder how long you've been a Christian, and I wonder how much you've grown in Christ since you accepted Christ. Are there things that you see differently now, or are there things that you believe differently now than when you first accepted Christ into your life? So today we're going to kick off this series by answering this question: what is it? What is spiritual maturity? And let me begin this series by saying this, and please remember that I've said this. Please understand that by no way am I confessing that I have grown wings and flown away and come back to you. I have yet to grow my wings and fly away and progress into the greatest ability of spiritual maturity that a person could possibly have. That is not me. So I'm with you in this. I'm trying to find a way to grow myself into a place of spiritual maturity. So we're in this together. Is that fair? But I do know this. The more that I grow in my relationship with God, the more that I grow in my spiritual maturity, I enjoy my relationship with God more and more. And I enjoy my relationship with His kingdom, with His people. I enjoy it more and more. The more that I grow, the less angry I get about the world. If you're angry about the world and all that's going on, maybe it's politics, maybe it's the virus, maybe it's 380, whatever it is that we get angry with the world and how, you know, the world drives, it's crazy. The more I grow in my relationship with God, the more I find myself being at peace about these things. The more I grow in my relationship with God, the more I hear His voice. And the more that He guides me and directs me throughout the day, the more that I recognize His grace for my sin is greater than all of my sin. Amen? The more that I realize that God uses me to touch lives, He takes me where He wants me to go throughout the day and getting me where I need to be at just the right time to talk to the right people, to lead them to Christ or to help them through a trial in their lives. The more that I grow, the more that I realize that this is a great adventure that God has put me on. The more I grow in spiritual maturity, the more that I realize this is a great adventure of a life that I'm on. Spiritual maturity is an adventure. It's a quest. It's a voyage. It's a risky venture with high stakes. I don't know about you, but that's fun to me. But you have to stop and realize that that's what it is in order to experience it. Otherwise, life just keeps happening and it doesn't make sense. Spiritual maturity is what makes your life meaningful. And as we go into this series, and you'll begin to understand that. Someone once said this: death gives meaning to life. But that's not what Scripture teaches. Eternal life is what gives meaning to life. And the concept here is that you and I can grow, we can be better, we can be stronger, we can think better, we can feel better, we can live better, we can be stronger than we are, we can be wiser than we are. We just have to make the steps and take the steps in order to do it. And what I'm going to talk to you a little bit about today is understanding that God has created an environment for you to be better, for you to grow stronger, for you to be more spiritually mature. So what is spiritual maturity? Well, let's talk about it from this standpoint. What isn't spiritual maturity? And by doing that, hopefully that'll give us a better picture of what it is. Well, first, spiritual maturity is not found in aging. There was a man at a church that I was on staff at that he had retired from being a car salesman. And when he did, he just let his hair grow all out, and he grew a white beard, a giant white beard, a silver beard. And there was something about this guy that you knew, because he would come in and he was looking for something wrong with the church, and he was hoping that this would make him look more spiritually mature, so maybe he could have some influence. I don't know what he was thinking, but looking for ways to distinguish himself among the rest of the members as somebody that's wiser than the rest, somebody that sees through something. And the church, you know, the church functioned with politics and all of that, and in those meetings where they would have the politics, and you know what I'm talking about, churches get involved in their own politics. Well, he would come locked and loaded, ready to let everybody know that he found the stinking rotten rat in the church, only to find out that he hadn't found it. Those are awkward moments, aren't they? For the whole church family. And, you know, here's the bottom line. This guy never taught a class. To my knowledge, this guy never led anybody to Christ. This guy never welcomed people into the church at the entrance. He never took a young person and put his arm around him and said, "Hey, let me help you grow in your relationship with God." But he was older. He looked wise. Aging has nothing to do with spiritual maturity. Aging gives opportunity for spiritual maturity, but it doesn't produce it. There's an old saying that time heals. It's not true. Time doesn't heal. Time gives opportunity for healing. If you do the right things in the time that you're given, you'll be healed, right? And in the same way, aging gives you opportunity for growing in spiritual maturity, but it doesn't guarantee it. Just because you come and sit in church week after week after week after week for 40 years does not mean that at some point you're going to be spiritually mature. There's got to be certain things that you participate in and that you do along the way in order for you to grow in spiritual maturity. I remember one Sunday morning, our senior's Sunday school teacher called me and he said, "John, I'm sick. There's no way that I can teach today. Is there someone that can fill in?" Well, I wasn't teaching that day, so I said, "Well, sure, I'll do that." I thought, oh no, these people are 70, in their 70s and 80s. I'm like 26 years old. What can I tell these people? These are seasoned Christians. So honestly, I was intimidated, and I walked into the class, and I was wondering, okay, how is this going to go down? You know, I hadn't prepared anything. I just knew what I was going to talk about. And I thought, wow, this is going to be intimidating. This is going to be difficult. And honestly, it was worse than trying to get the seventh graders to settle down. It was hilarious. These people were great. They were like a bunch of teenagers and worse. And I wasn't sure what it was going to turn out like. But I do know this. I do remember this, that I walked out of there with this impression that was different than what I had walked in with. These people hadn't settled on the basics of what we believed about Christianity. There was discussion about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. These people had attended this church three times a week, however many times they came throughout the year, for many years. There was discussion about that they weren't even settled on the fact that this is something that God is offering today. And it's obvious if you just read the scripture, this is something that's available for us today. And they weren't settled on it. And how many years had these people been in this church? And it's just amazing to me that they weren't settled on some of the basics. So I have a question. How long does somebody walk with God before they actually submit to Him? There's not a certain age that happens. It's a decision that brings that to somebody's life. How long does a person need to read and study God's Word before they say, "Okay, God, I accept your Word"? How long does it take for us to do that? At what age does a person finally say, "Okay, God, you're God, I'm not"? At what age does that happen? It's not about an age. You could sit here for 40 years and never do that. The truth is, age has nothing to do with it, and you know that. Time gives opportunity for us to do these things. You can submit to God today, and you can grow in spiritual maturity every day after. You can accept God's Word today and grow in spiritual maturity every day after. You can say today, "Okay, God, you're God and I'm not." And you can grow from this point on. But you could also sit here and sit here and sit here and sit here the way you've always sat here and not. So age has nothing to do with it, does it? So first, it's not found in age. Secondly, spiritual maturity isn't instantaneous. So it gives time to do it, but you're going to need time to grow spiritually, is the point. You can make these decisions I just mentioned, but it's not going to instantly make you a spiritually mature person. Solomon wrote this: "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." So what is he saying? He's saying fearing God, submitting to God, believing in God, and doing the things to start that relationship, that's just the beginning of wisdom. That's just the beginning of spiritual growth in your life. It's not the end of it. That's not the end all. God expects us to grow to a place in our relationship with Him that the basics of our faith are solid. God expects us to grow to a place in our relationship with Him that the basics of our faith are so solid, so much, that we don't even question them anymore. Now, we live in a world, and you know it, that is questioning even the basics of life. There are things that are being debated today that have been known for thousands of years. Nobody's ever questioned these things. Let's just say that the sky is blue, that everybody is not in agreement that the sky is blue. And there's huge controversy that the sky is not blue anymore. We don't know what color it is, but it's not blue. And everybody that has common sense looks up and goes, no, it's blue. Most of the time. And there's these debates that are going on. The basics of life are being questioned, and people call it progressive knowledge, and it's really not progressive, is it? We've digressed because of these issues. And I'm not even going to mention them because I don't want somebody to get sidetracked that might be listening today and go, oh man, he believes that. I don't want that. I believe in Jesus, and that's all I'm going to preach about. All right? That's where we're going to stay. So I don't want you to lose your focus. But the point is this: even when we have evidence, when we have data, we still look and say, okay, that's not what I want to believe. I want to believe something different. We have more evidence and data about some of these issues that our community is struggling with today than we've ever had in the history of the world. And now we are divided over these things. Huge debate. And here's the problem. It brings confusion. And if we can't accept, and this is what our kids are growing into, if we can't accept the basics of life, if we can't accept basic truth, basic reality, then how could we even begin to accept the more difficult things? And so our kids grow up and they're like, we don't even know what to believe anymore. The author of Hebrews says this about your spiritual maturity. He says, we must try to become mature. This is what we in the church must do. And start thinking about more than just the basic things. And then he begins to list some of these things. The basic things that we were taught about Christ. We need to start thinking about way more than just the basic things, he says. We shouldn't need to keep talking about why we ought to turn from deeds that bring death. We call that sin. He says we shouldn't even have to talk about that stuff anymore. They bring death. They destroy our relationships. They destroy our relationship with God. Let's be done with that and let's move on to bigger and better things. There's more to talk about in the kingdom of God than just the sin that we should stop doing. And he goes, we ought to have faith. The other thing that he talked about is that we ought to have faith in God. That needs to be settled. That's a basic, that you put faith in God. Well, let's talk about faith and let's have this huge conference about faith. He says, no, that's a basic thing. Put your faith in God. Let that be a basic thing and move on to bigger and more mature things to talk about in your relationship with God. And then he talks about baptisms. He says, those are basic. And for some people, once they get baptized in water, they think that's the end of it. No, he says that's basic. It's way more than that. That's just the beginning. Baptism in Christ, that's when you accept Christ into your life. That's when you get saved. Baptism is in water, that's when you tell the world, you declare to the world, I am saved, I'm a believer. And then there's baptism in the Holy Spirit. These are basic things. Well, that's the end all. No, it's not. It's just the beginning. And then he says, and this is pretty funny, the laying on of hands. He's talking about healing. He says that should just be basic. And then get this one, the raising of the dead. That's basic. Future judgment. He says, you're talking about heaven and hell all the time. God has way more things to talk about in the kingdom of God than these basic things. And then he says, let's grow up. He's talking about spiritual maturity. And with God, there's no instantaneous spiritual maturity. Everything God created started with a seed, even Jesus. And God made you to grow, develop, and set your life on a course to do so. So spiritual maturity isn't about aging. It's not instantaneous. And spiritual maturity is not about having spiritual gifts. It's not about spiritual gifts. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church of Corinth. He said in chapter 1, the very first chapter of this, he said, you do not lack any spiritual gift. But look at what he says just a few chapters later. He says, brothers and sisters, I couldn't address you as people who live by the Spirit. Another version says, I couldn't address you as spiritual people. So in chapter 1, he says, y'all have spiritual gifts, things to use to grow the kingdom and do something for God and God's kingdom, but I can't address you as spiritual people. He says, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ, I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling, and here's a great test. There's jealousy and quarreling among you. Are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? How many of you want your church to be a place where there's jealousy and quarreling? Not any of us. I mean, come on, there's a lot of drama in that. It'd be a lot of fun. We'd have a lot to go home and talk about, wouldn't we? It would be awful, wouldn't it? And thank God we don't have that. Amen? So we are growing in spiritual maturity. But along the way, we will be tested. There will be somebody that comes in with some jealousy and quarreling wanting to go on. They're going to be talking behind our backs and saying stuff. And what are you going to do about it? You're going to be spiritually mature. Amen? You see, God gave us gifts and talents and abilities to serve one another, to encourage one another, and to build up the kingdom of God. That's why He gave them to us. But make no mistake, these gifts and talents are only best used when somebody is growing spiritually, growing to spiritual maturity. And also don't make a mistake that just because somebody is using their gifts and talents in God's kingdom, that means that they're growing spiritually. It doesn't mean that. Because you're given these gifts, you're given these things from God to be able to use. The question is, are you going to use them in connection with spiritual maturity? So it's not about aging. Oh, let me read this. The evidence of spiritual maturity. Here it is. Galatians chapter 5. Here's the evidence of spiritual maturity. Not somebody that can get up and preach and sing and do all those things. He says, here's the evidence. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's the fruit of maturity. So there's not aging, it's not instantaneous, it's not about your spiritual gifts, and it's not about laws. It's not about laws. So the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, forbearance or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And then I love this statement. Against such things, there is no law. Nobody's written a law against love or joy. If they have, I don't want to live there. So, look at it from this perspective. If your life is about just living barely above the law. You're going to be paranoid a lot. If you're doing things that are just right, you know, you're circumventing the letter of the law, you're wondering, you know, is somebody going to figure it out? Or if you're shaving something on your taxes and you're wondering, man, is the tax guy going to find me? Just barely living above the law. If you're at home and you're barely getting by with what's needed to be done in your home, if you're taking out a little bit of the trash instead of all the trash, if you're just doing what's absolutely required in life, you're barely getting by in your relationships. Are you guys feeling what I'm saying? Just living right at that basic level, just barely getting by in your relationships, and just barely getting by in your relationship with God. Well, God, I didn't murder anybody this week. God, I didn't steal anything this week. Just barely getting by. God is calling us to be more than just living a basic life of, well, I fulfilled the law. You see, the law is there to protect the innocent, and the law is there to protect the ideal that people can populate together and live together and progress together in some sort of peace. And spiritual maturity means that you will be living such a life of love that you don't even have to think about the law. Spiritual maturity means that you're living a life of love that is so awesome, so powerful, that you're getting this done without even thinking about it. That you know, Jesus said this. He said, not only do I tell you don't murder, he says, don't even think about murdering, or don't even get angry, right? He says, I tell you, don't just not commit adultery. He says, I'm telling you not even to think about it. He's saying live on such a plane that the law isn't even something that you're even thinking about. The basics are already done. God wants us to live a higher, better, spiritually mature life. That's where God wants to take us. A life so good and a life so loving that the basics of life are taken care of. When my father-in-law became the pastor of my home church, that's how I met Angela. It was a glorious day. The light shone around her when I got, okay, that's not my point. So he came to pastor my home church in St. Louis, and the membership card that the church had used for years, and I grew up knowing that this was something that we couldn't do in the church. We couldn't go see movies, because if you signed a membership card, you were saying, I will never go to the movie theater. And you were saying, I will never dance, because that was on the membership card. Well, my father-in-law came to pastor this church, and he realized after some time that, man, this is legalism. Why are we having our people sign this? So he took it on himself to order some new membership cards that didn't have those things in there. And they had traditional board meetings with deacons, and one of the guys on the board, he noticed that this was something that he had done, and so he brought it to the meeting, and very angry, he said, our pastor has overstepped his boundaries, and he's changed the standard of membership in this church, and I don't understand who gave him authority to do this, and went on and on and on. Would have loved to have been a fly on the wall that day. And the pastor looked around the room, and he just sat and listened to them. And he said, guys, I have a problem. My son is in the youth group here, as you know. And some of your kids are as well. And I just have a question for you. When my son comes and asks me why he can't go see a movie that your kids have gone to see, what should I tell him? Yeah. That church no longer exists today. The building is there. Beautiful 2,000-seat sanctuary. Back in the 80s, that was a lot. But the church isn't there. You see, this is the kind of stuff that Jesus dealt with all the time, spiritual immaturity. What was Jesus after? Was he after laws and rules? Or was he after the heart? Jesus was after us being loving, joyful, peaceful, forbearing, patient, kind, good, faithful, having self-control. These are the things Jesus was after. And God calls you to live a life that is so meaningful that you don't even have to worry about the basics anymore. So purposeful that you don't even have to think about the basics anymore. That you have settled the basics of your relationship with God so much that those aren't the issue anymore. Because you've grown into spiritual maturity. Now please understand, Jesus didn't come and abolish the basics. He came and fulfilled it. He said, I didn't come away to do away with the law. I came to fulfill it. Spiritual maturity. So as we begin this series today, I want to introduce you to a new way of looking at the world. I want you to put on a new pair of glasses to see the world through different eyes than you've ever seen them. And if you'll begin seeing the world from a different perspective, from the perspective that I'm about to give to you, it's going to progress you spiritually in a way that I think is going to really bring your life together. It's going to help you process your life. It's a new perspective, new glasses, a new way to see things. And here it is. Your world is entirely about growing to maturity in a relationship with God and others, growing to be like Jesus. That's what this world is. Now, we've been told other things. If you've given up to see that the world is just a place that you've got to endure, a place that you've got to live in until you die, and you're just given up, then your life feels meaningless. And I'm telling you, it's way more than just living and dying. There's so much more meaning to this life that God says, I call you to just let the basics be there, accept those, and begin to grow spiritually, and you'll see there's meaning in your life. If your worldview is that this place is a place that you've come to conquer, that you've come to win, that you've come to be the best, that you've come to outlast and be the victor over everybody else, then you're headed for destruction. Why? Because that's not what this world is about. God is the one who says what this world is about, and it's different than that. It's way different than that, and it's way better. If your worldview is that this place is a place for you to go and find comfort and nirvana and peace and pleasures of all kinds, then I'm telling you, that's not what this world is about. You can have those things a little bit in good measure, right? But that's not what this world is about. Why? Because you're going to be disillusioned, because you're also going to face pain, and the reality of life is going to be there, and it's not going to make sense to you if that's all you've come to do and that's what you view the world to be. Is your worldview that you've come to just do your part? I've just come to do my part. I've come to marry somebody, to make babies, and to build a home, and to shower every day so that I don't offend the people around me. I'm just going to live the basics of life, a harmless life. I'm going to stay out of the way. I'm just going to live in the corner over here and not mess with anybody. I'm going to do my part and live a life of peace and hope. Listen, all of that is great. But that's not why you're here. That's not what this world is about. doing your part and taking care of everything. Listen, if that's what the world is about to you, here's the reality. At some point, you're doing your part, you're taking care of things, you're paying your bills, you're taking care of your family, you're raising kids, you're raising a dog, you've got all the stuff, and wham, suddenly life is going to hit you and you're going to get broadsided and you're going to be confused. Why? Because that's not what the world is about. Those are good things. Don't get me wrong. Those are good things. But that's not why you're here. This world is entirely about one thing, and it's growing to maturity in a relationship with God and others, growing to be like Jesus. And when you begin to see your world from that perspective, everything changes. Everything about it, how God made it, how God formed it, how God shaped it, all of the things that this world has in it, the laws of science and nature that we have discovered, all of it, God put it in there for the one purpose of you growing in a relationship with Him to be like Jesus. And that means when you submit yourself to the basics and you say, all right, God, I belong to You. I accept You. I accept what You like and what You don't like. Those are the basics. I accept that relationship. I'm going to leave that now there, and I'm going to build on it and grow to way much more. All of your life begins to make sense. So what is spiritual maturity? As we kick this off, what is it? Spiritual maturity is this. It's very simple, but it's a long process. It's growing to be like Jesus. And in so doing, you're in this relationship with Him, and in this relationship with us, growing to be like Jesus. Now listen, I'm not talking about just doing the things Jesus did. Okay, I read the scriptures. Jesus went up and He started teaching on a hillside. I'm going to go do that this afternoon. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about what Paul said. He said, follow My example as I follow the example of Christ. Follow My example as I follow the example of Christ. Jesus came as a baby. He grew to maturity as a man. And He also grew to maturity spiritually. He came as a baby, and He needed to grow, and He did. He also needed to grow spiritually, and He grew completely to a place of spiritual maturity. Jesus didn't even start doing His ministry until He was about 30 years old. God lived on earth for 30 years. And He didn't start His ministry until then. Growing spiritually is why we're here. That's why we're here. That's why the church is here. You say, well, the church is here to get me to heaven. That's basic. It's the most basic reason. But that's why I come to church. Okay, well, you're missing the point then. It's time to leave the basic and grow. It's time to let that be something that you build on. Some would say, well, the church is here to feed the poor. And they grab onto that as though that's the most important thing that we should be doing. Well, here's Jesus' answer to that. The poor you will always have with you. Should we do it? Yeah, we help. That's not why we're here. Some would argue that the church is here to reach the lost. Yes, the church is here to reach the lost, but that's the basic. If that's all we're here to do, then let's schedule a circus for next week and have people come and watch the elephants, and at the end we'll have them pray a prayer. That's all we're here to do. It's bigger than that. That That's basic. Do we need the lost in order to have people to grow? Yeah, absolutely. But that needs to be just getting done. Some would say, well, the church is here for fellowship. That we just have friends and we come in and we can talk and enjoy one another and laugh and tell jokes and enjoy the great food and stuff. It's more than that. It's way more than that. Does the church provide that? Sure. But that's basic. Fellowship is good. But it's bigger than that. James David, would you come? J. Oswald Sanders wrote this. We're as mature as we are like Christ. And he went on, I didn't put it all on the screen, but let me read it to you. He said, we're as mature as we are like Christ, no more and no less. He was the only fully mature man. He's talking about spiritual maturity. And then he describes him. His character was complete. Well balanced. Wouldn't you love to be well balanced? Perfectly integrated. All his qualities and capacities were perfectly attuned to the will of his Father. You remember the time that Jesus walked into town and people were pushing up against him, and as he walked in, he looked and he saw the will of his Father, and there was Zacchaeus sitting in a tree, a sycamore tree. I'm told these are sycamores out back here. And they've got these huge limbs, and Zacchaeus had climbed up and was sitting on one of those limbs. And Jesus, being pressed by all these people, he walks in town and he looks and sees the one man, and he says, that's what my Father is doing. Spiritual maturity. All his qualities and capacities were perfectly attuned to the will of his Father. And this is the model, all right? So what I'm about to read is a scripture that he wrote here, or he put in here. This is the model, the standard God has set for us. Here it is. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers. To what? Prepare God's people for works of service. Are you God's people? We're here to prepare you for His works of service. We're not here just to get you to heaven. That's basic. We're not here just so that we can say we had this many people in church today. No. It's way bigger than that. So that what? The body of Christ may be built up. So that we can count how many people? No. So that people are saved and growing to maturity in a relationship with God. Until what? Until we all reach unity. What does it mean to have unity? How do we get unity? We settle on the basics. We all declare, this is truth. Jesus is the Messiah. God is God. We accept Him. We submit to Him. We all agree on the basics. And now we're just moving on to greater things. So that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. He then goes on to say, the supreme goal of the church is not evangelism, important and indispensable as that ministry is. The ultimate goal is stated by Paul when he wrote this. And in his he quotes Paul here. We proclaim him, teaching everyone with all wisdom so that we may present everyone perfect. Now the word translated perfect here is actually mature in Christ. We proclaim him, teaching with everyone with all wisdom so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. And he finishes with this. God's purpose is to produce disciples who reflect the perfect humanity of his Son. People who are able to react to the trials of life in an adult and not in a childish manner. Meeting adult situations with adult reactions. In short, God's purpose is to produce people who fulfill their humanity and become what God designed for them. So the church is a place for you to come and mature in your relationship with God. And here's what it looks like. The world is set up by God to grow you spiritually. The world is set up by God to grow you spiritually. And the church is here to help you process all of that. To help you make sense of it all. And that's what we do. Jesus said, my Father's house is a house of prayer. What's he talking about? A house of relationship with God. Growth. So how does this happen? That's what we're going to be talking about in the coming weeks. How can you grow spiritually mature? That's what we're going to be talking about. How can you let the basics go? Those get done. That's a given. Because why? You're living above that. You're living better than that. We'll be talking about it. But here's where you can begin today. And maybe you can take a picture of this when it's on the screen in just a second if it's not there already. Or write it down in your phone. Maybe set something on your phone to give you a reminder every day, some kind of an alert. That you read this and that you apply your day to this. Here's where we begin. This world is entirely about growing to maturity in a relationship with God and others. Growing to be like Jesus. And why is that important? Because throughout this week, every day, you're going to have experiences. And every experience that you have in this world is about that. It's about that, growing in that relationship with God and others and to be like Jesus. That's what this world is about. What does that mean? It means all of your experiences, all of your life's experiences, all of your pain, all your struggle, all of your victories, all the good things that have happened in your life. God says, I will take all of those things in all things. What? They work together for the good. For those who are called by me according to my purpose and love me, right? That's what God says. If you love me and are called to my purpose, I make all things good. And this world is about you growing in that relationship with him. Every trial, every hardship, every reward, every failure, every struggle, God says, it's there to grow you. It's there to grow you. And where can we begin right now? Here's what I'm asking our church family to do. I'm asking each of you to be settled on the basics. You say, well, John, what are those? We'll go over them. If you don't even know what the basics are, we really need to work on this. The basics of Christianity, the basics of who Jesus is, the basics of what God expects, what God likes, what God doesn't like, the basics of a relationship with Christ, that we settle on that and let's move forward. Let's grow. Let's become spiritually mature. Let's become stronger. This is far more important than anything else that we can do in this world. Why? Because our whole world was set up for this one purpose. Let's pray. God, we want to be found as a place of unity in Christ. If you, our Master, would come and visit us today, what would you find? God, we choose to be people who believe in you, your divine nature, who you say you are, the things you've done, the things you say, we agree. We choose to accept you as our God. And we thank you for your work in our lives. And we ask you to help us to go beyond the basics, to begin to eat spiritual meat, to become stronger. Put a desire in each of us as we go into this new year to let this year be a year of spiritual growth, spiritual maturity, knowing you, seeing you. God, that we would be people that you could actually use to reach a culture that seems to be unreachable, to touch lives, and to grow others spiritually. We commit ourselves to that today, and we commit ourselves to unity and settling on the things that we know to be true. You're our God, and we love you. Help us to grow this year. In Jesus' name, amen.